If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Is it really that hard to not be an awful roommate or just like a terrible person in general?
It's actually incredibly easy.
It's so like life is easier when you're just nice and easy.
Yes.
Right.
And it's like, why do I feel like the crazy one?
I don't know.
What?
I know.
How does that work?
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, in case you didn't know, we launched a Discord, and it's going great.
There's a whole lot of you in there. It's very fun.
I love it. People are very happy to see that there's, like, a whole channel. Like, the way that Discord is different than the Facebook group is just, like, there are channels for things. You want to just, like, talk about, like, your dogs and your pets and stuff? There's a channel for
There's a whole channel for
that. You want to talk about the book club? There's a channel for that. You want to talk about the episode this week? There's a channel for that.
Yeah.
People love the organization.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a little too organized for
me. A little much. But, look, we're here, and we're having a good time.
If I may, I wanted to remind the fam, I'm on tour right now, and we've just released tickets for a whole bunch of new cities. So
Whoa.
I'm coming to Milwaukee on May 8th, Chicago on May 9th, Minneapolis on May 10th, Boston on June 6th, Louisville on June 20th, St. Louis on June 23rd, and I'm so excited about this, New York City for Pride Weekend on June 26th. All the info and tickets are at patricktours.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about today, girl?
All right, so this is that show Worst Roommate Ever.
Yeah.
We're doing season 2, episode 2. It's called Housemate from Hell.
Female executive has an executive home, exquisitely furnished to share. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. Lush backyard. And French door private entrance overlooking the pool. I've never worked a roommate case myself where it ended so tragically.
Stay the fuck away from me. You bastard.
The thing that sticks out the most to me in this investigation is that she recorded her murder.
So we're in a place called Cathedral City, California, which is just east of Palm Springs. I was excited to find out that there was like a less expensive version of Palm Springs right next door.
I get. Is it less expensive?
Seems like it's slightly less expensive. And I'm about to become a Palm Springs gay. I'm like, I want to investigate.
That's what they call like the gays and the grays, right? That's
yeah.
That's like the whole thing about
Oh, no.
Palm
am
Springs?
I that age? Am I a golden
no,
gay
but
at
like,
this
isn't
point?
That a whole thing? The gays and the grays?
Yeah.
That's like the term?
The gays really love Palm Springs. We're going to go this year. We've put it on our 2025 that we're going to go to Palm Springs at some point this year.
Oh, fun. Okay. Yeah. So we're with Sergeant Heather Olson, and she's telling us the story. And our
yes.
victim here is Anita Cohen. They haven't said her name yet, but I'm gonna.
Please do.
So we learn about this. Like, we're sort of east of Palm Springs in the Coachella Valley. It has
yeah.
very low crime rates, like 1 to 5 homicides per year, depending on the year, she says.
Yeah.
So Detective Albert Holloway is also here, and he says, like, a good amount of retirees live here. It's really safe. It's working class.
Yeah. And so we jump to June 14th, 2016, and the police get a call for a requested welfare check. We're going to learn eventually that Anita's daughter-in-law is calling because they can't get in touch with Anita and they want the police to go check. So the police show up a little after 11 p.m. The officer knocks on the door. There's no answer. A second officer arrives. They've got a hop. We're seeing the body cam footage. And the cops have to hop a fence to get, like, into the backyard.
It's really dark outside. It's eerily quiet.
They say they just know something is wrong. Like, these are cops that do this for a living, and they're, like, they can sense that that something is not right here.
And so as they're sort of walking around the property, they find Anita Cohen in the pool in the backyard.
She was severely beaten. She had visible injuries on the left side of her head and face. There was broken glass, broken picture frames, and blood drag marks in the concrete just outside of the door leading to the backyard.
Broken glass on the ground, broken picture frames. Like, you could tell this was a very, very violent attack.
Yeah. And so the question is, like, who would do this to this elderly woman and why?
So Stephen, Anita's son, is here.
And he's a wreck. Like, Stephen is a wreck from the minute we see him. He looks real. I always wonder about the people who, like, agree to do these. Like, it's just very re-traumatizing. It's very hard to, like, relive it. But he's here to tell the story. And you can just tell it's hard for him.
Yeah. And, like, I appreciate this because Stephen tells us about his mother and her life. And she got divorced young and she always had to work really, really hard for what she had. But her dream was to own a house of her own.
Yeah.
And that's a very important part of the story, that it was her house and she wasn't going to leave it. And how dare you?
Right.
She worked really, really, really hard for this house. This was her dream.
Yep. I get that. We see a picture of Anita when she was young and her kids were young. And I'm like, both times I watched it, I'm like, she looks just like a young Madonna.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like Madonna from like the 1980s. And like, I mean, she was a beautiful younger woman. And, like, Stephen and his mom were super close. It was, like, the two of them against the world, you know?
Cindy is the daughter-in-law who's married to Steve. And she says, again, like, Anita, we cannot stress how much she loved that house in Cathedral City. She bought it. She loved it. And Cindy says it was everything for her. She loved it. And that really does become an important part of this.
Yeah, it's a beautiful house.
It was a three-bedroom, two-bath. It had a pool, had a jacuzzi, a beautiful backyard.
She loved the house. It was her independence. It was she's arrived kind of thing.
It was her I've arrived moment, was buying that house.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn. The podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So Steve and Cindy live 3 hours away in San Diego.
Yeah.
And Anita had her own business. She recruited travel nurses to work in hospitals.
I mean, absolutely incredible. Like, shout out to James. Hey, girl, he's a travel nurse who's like a listener. And what an amazing gig and an amazing job. And only amazing people do that.
Yeah, it's like really incredible. And so she had this like thriving business, and Anita closed her business when she was in her 60s.
Yeah.
But she still needed something to make money. So she was working part time at Walgreens in the pharmacy, and she was still struggling with her bills. Like, she had to take out a loan for the equity of her car.
Even though it's like a less expensive, like, sister city to Palm Springs, that living in that area is expensive. And like they say, living in the desert, the cost of utilities is very high because they've got to bring everything in.
Yeah, you're far away from everything. It's a lot of money. So a lot of these retirees rent out their guest rooms for some extra cash.
Yes.
So she probably like got this idea from another friend of hers down the block, because this is sort of what everyone in that community did.
And it's like a dangerous thing to do. Like, we learned that Anita would she'd put an ad on Craigslist. Like, do people remember what Craigslist was?
Craigslist can be, like, really scary.
Is it still a thing?
I'm sure it is, yeah.
Wow.
So Craigslist was, like, a really low budget. I feel like everyone's like, we know what Craigslist is. But it was just, like, you could find dates there.
Yeah, you could find
Or,
like, hookups if you're gay. Like, that's what the gays used
dates,
it for.
Like, air quotes.
I saw your eyes at me.
But we've actually, like, we've covered stories where, like, you know, it's like that website Backpage where sex workers would go, like, but it's totally unregulated.
But but there were other, like, you could, like, swap furniture, you know what I mean?
Like, there was a lot of, like, acting gigs that used to be on there.
That's
like,
right.
Non-union, whatever.
But, like, especially, like, in a place like New York or a place like this town near Palm Springs, like, people would use it to find roommates. That's how I would always find my apartments in my early years in New York.
Yeah, and it was just, like, a lot of scam. Like, you think it's an acting gig and you'd show up and it's, like, creepy. You know, like, it was a way to very easily take advantage of people.
Uh-huh.
But Anita was using it because it was cheap and it was easy, and she needed someone to rent the room. So she wasn't being shady about it.
No, and like,
people would show up with just that rent and just that deposit, and she would take the money and give them a key. I mean, nothing like, where do you work? Where are you from?
We asked her to screen them before she had them come live with her. And she didn't do that. Because it costs money to do background checks.
She didn't want to do it because it was expensive to do background checks. And I get it. But it is, like, I wanted to find the time to say this in this episode, so I'll say it here. It is a good thing that it is hard to evict people from their apartments. That is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because the reason that that is set up, and I know this from being a person on the planet, but my mom worked in housing for forever. And my mom's job specifically was to find housing for people who were legally discriminated against. And that's why a lot of these laws changed and became really hard to get people out. Because somebody would, like, rent you a house or rent you a room and find out that you were gay, and then they would try to kick you out or find out that you had AIDS. And that was where my mom. So it is a good thing that it's hard to kick people out. But knowing that, I do think that people who are renting out rooms, like, it is kind of incumbent upon you to do the best you can to make sure you're not moving in with a total creep. Now, that said, creeps make it very hard to find out that they've been creeps in the past.
And, like, this ad is like, on the flip side of it, it almost looks like it's so nice. I'd be worried that she was scamming me.
Totally.
That I'd show up.
Yeah.
Because it's like this beautiful house, private entrance, come and go as you please. Dogs welcome. I have two,
totally.
She says. You know, like, prefer
never get their names. And now I notice it on your behalf.
See? Prefer single gal guy suitable for student. It looks perfect. Pool, spa, private backyard, private entrance, upscale, fully furnished private bedroom. You're like, I'm going to walk in and it's going to be an alleyway and I will never be seen again.
Yeah.
It's, like, that nice.
It really is.
And the ad says, like, her listing says that she would do a background check.
Oh, it does say that?
But she wasn't going to do it. Because it's too expensive. And she's like, whatever. So that was her little security blanket to say, like, I'm just going to tell people.
Yep.
Anyone who thinks they're getting a background check, like, run on them if they're going to be shady, whatever.
And she also doesn't seem like she, like, has been doing this for a very long time. Like, it seems like she's kind of new to the roommate thing. Like, she's just realizing she needs money. And, you know, you get burned once. And, like, this is the thing, is that sometimes you'll get burned or you'll get, like, a shitty roommate, but they're not, like, monsters. In this instance, she gets a monster.
And at this point, you know, like, people would show up with the rent and the security deposit and she would hand over the key. And people were really, they weren't staying very long term at first. And so, like, she was also happy to have a roommate because she was a little lonely. So it was, like, nice to have someone else around the house.
So we meet Daryl.
Daryl, girl.
I kind of love Daryl.
Daryl has fucking been through it too, man.
I mean, he's a little bit of a weirdo, but he's Anita's longest running roommate. And I just said, Jesus, this guy was in rough shape when he met Anita.
I was going through a divorce and I was living in a shack out in the middle of nowhere with no heater and burning wood on a stove to keep warm. And my car was falling apart because it was a long drive to go to work. So I really needed to move somewhere closer to work. I was pretty desperate.
He was desperate, and he's like, look, I had bad credit because of my divorce, and that's why
I
ended up on Craigslist.
Well, because he didn't have time. You know what I mean?
So, unless you're listening on the Patreon, then you don't know what we're talking about. Because that's an ad. So... But, like, Daryl is thrilled because he's like, oh, so this lady who doesn't really care about my credit, who lives in this gorgeous, stunning house that's close to where I work, like, oh, this is amazing. He's thrilled. Anita decorated it with, like, really cool things. Like, she seemed like a very interesting, fascinating woman.
Seems like our taste would probably not align. Not that I have taste, but Anita seems like it's like a house full of knickknacks.
Yeah, she loved it. And it's like her personality was all over the place.
What do you call it? Like, shabby chic is probably, like, the aesthetic.
Look, I'm into it. Anita.
Totally.
And, like, all these cool things from all over the world. Like, everything has a story, and Daryl wanted to hear the stories.
Uh-huh.
Like, it just sounded like a sweet little setup. Because he says it was a perfect little fit for me and my cats to move in.
Oh, the cats.
So, like, just like normal, no background check. He gives her the money, she gives him the key, and here we are.
And, like, Daryl was saying, like, at first things were great. And he was saying, I have a lot of respect for older people. Get yourself a roommate like Daryl. This guy just wanted to, like, he wanted to be a good tenant. He paid his rent on time. He just wanted to kind of stay in his room and be with his cats and not bother anybody.
And he says, this is her space. I'm a guest here. Like, he's trying to do the right thing by her. Like, he would be my longest running roommate, too.
What would happen that time that you came home and you saw him doing his, like, switchblade skills?
Well, so Cindy, the daughter-in-law, is like...
Anita said that Daryl was a little different than what she was used to seeing, but he always paid the rent, and she was okay with him living there. I've only met Daryl a few times. I found some of the things he did to be a little peculiar.
peculiar. Now, as she's telling us this and the nicest tone she can muster, there's footage of Daryl getting up and like casually swinging a switchblade around, like, which he thinks is very cool and impressive.
But it's like the people who had those Zippo lighters and knew how to like light them on their jeans or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's one of those skill sets that I just don't have. And what is the point of a switchblade? Like, why does it do that?
I mean,
is it for show? Is it meant to be like for the talent show?
I think we've all seen West Side Story and I think we all know.
But like
the switchblade choreography.
I don't know why the knife needs to do that. Maybe it has some sort of practical purpose. I don't know. But he's real good at it.
He's real good at it. And we see this little quick shot. I'm like, you're trying to do Daryl a little dirty here because he ends up being a great guy who really
it's
gets
true.
Fucked over.
And they want us to not be sure. They want us to think that sure. he might not be a good
Daryl
guy.
Daryl is not the worst roommate ever we're talking
not,
about.
He's like the best roommate ever.
So Daryl says, like, as much as he was respectful of Anita, they kind of barely saw each other. He says,
yeah.
like, he said he spent a lot of time in his room with his cats. They saw each other in passing, but everything was great. Like,
I
wouldn't want to be best friends with the roommate either. Like, they kind of right. had this nice little routine.
Meanwhile, I'm like,
oh my God.
Do you want to hang out on the couch?
No, I do not.
Wouldn't you? You would hang out on the couch with me sometimes.
For a little bit. And then I'd be like, I'm done.
Another Cosmo, though, before you go to bed?
Maybe. Okay. I'll take it in my room.
Yeah, so, I'm going to get you to hang out with
okay.
me. I'm going to get you to hang
the
out with me.
Cosmos, look, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So Anita had two spare bedrooms. And whenever possible,
it's a huge house.
It's huge. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so whenever possible, ideally, like, both of those rooms would be rented.
You do not want to hang out on the couch with me. I'm going to learn your drink order.
Well, you go to bed at 8:30 anyway.
See,
so
I'm not asking for the whole night.
I'll never
forget. I've told this story before. The first time you and I ever traveled together, and we got, the first night we had, like, a great dinner. And then the next night, I remember it was, like, 8 o'clock, and you're like, I'm going to go back to the room now. And I was like, well, what?
Because it was like 48 hours of constant.
Me. Which
and,
is exhausting.
But we were also at like an event and a convention.
Yeah,
so there was, it was.
You can say it. I know him a lot, but I just remember being like, but I'm not done spending
but
time with
you. But it wasn't just you. Yeah, it was like the world.
But I took it personally.
You took it very personally. And I was like, it's not you, it's me. But I also,
but I also
don't have the energy to explain it to you. So if you don't get it, go find someone else to talk to about it. But I'm done. Bye. I want a shower and a hotel bed.
Oh,
and that's it.
God.
So Daryl isn't always the only person renting from Anita, is the point.
Yeah.
So there were two rooms across the hall. So Daryl had to deal with these people a lot. And let's be honest, they had to deal with Daryl.
And that's a recipe for disaster. Like to have, I don't think in all of my years of renting, I ever had more than one roommate. Like I can't, like if you're the person, like you're the Anita and you've got to put together people who can live. But Anita doesn't care about that. She just needs the money.
Right.
So she's not necessarily looking for compatibility. She's just kind of looking for someone to fill the room.
But Anita had a lot of issues with these tenants because they were taking advantage of her. So I think she kind of looked, once you got there and you're not Daryl, she's kind of an easy mark.
Yes.
Because Daryl tells us these stories.
There was a time when she was having trouble with one of the tenants and a friend of mine and myself had to intervene. We had, you know, tell them to cool it off and cool it down because they were getting a little heated and being disrespectful to an elderly woman in her own home.
This tenant was getting heated and disrespectful. So people would like realize that she wasn't really doing the background checks and everything was kind of under the table. So they wouldn't pay her or they were squatting in the house or they'd eat her food. They'd be the anti-Daryl. They'd be super disrespectful.
This kind of life it's transient. Like they're not signing a year-long lease. They're coming for a month. Maybe they're paying their rent.
And I don't know if like word is getting out about that gorgeous house in Cathedral City. Like I don't know about that.
And so not only is Daryl like paying his rent on time, but he's like helping, he's like getting his friends to be the enforcers in the house to make sure that these assholes aren't being awful to Anita.
And on top of that, Anita was also calling the police a lot to help her. And she wanted, like, someone would get out of line and she'd call the cops and she'd want the cops to come kick them out. And they'd have to tell her, like, Anita, girl, that's kind of not how this works.
It's not how this works at all. And, like, that was where I made the note. Like, it shouldn't work that way. But at the same time, it's like, don't be awful to old ladies and everybody pay their rent. Everyone just be nice to each other.
Right, like, this isn't something to take advantage of.
Right.
Like, just pay her for the room. And so it's just so stupid.
Yep. And like you were saying, like, that's why Craigslist ended up being so scammy. You know what I mean?
It's so scammy. It's totally unregulated. And like, it's creepy.
In all the
it's
years,
dangerous.
I was like,
it scares me for people who were
on it. Truly is. Because no one's checking references. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just hoping that people aren't going to be awful. And guess what? We have a whole podcast about how people are awful.
There's no record of it. So you can see this gig or this date or this apartment and then show up and just be gone.
Yeah.
And then you would have to like go into the person Craigslist. I don't even know if there was a history, if you could view the history of things that you looked at. So it's just sort of like you just like find an address and then you go like who knows what's going to happen to you when you get there.
Oh my God.
It's super scary.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So it's February 2016, and Daryl has been living there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like her best friend and enforcer. And this is when this piece of shit, Scott Pettigrew, enters the scene.
Yeah. So we learn that Anita and Scott met through work. Remember, she worked at the Walgreens.
Yes.
And Daryl says, at first, he seemed like a typical clean-cut gay guy, typical to the Palm Springs area. I'm like, so far, so good. This works.
I guess so. Daryl's like, happy for Anita, because it's like another friend that Anita has, and she really likes Scott, and it was nice for Anita to have a friend around the house, and like, not all these randos just causing trouble. Like, Daryl's kind of had it. So I think he thought at first that like, oh, Scott and I were like simpatico, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to help Anita.
But then, like, Daryl says the second Scott moved in, he started doing this like really weird shit. We're like,
sometimes he would just open my door and shut it real quick while I was asleep. Then I would come very angrily out of my room and say, what are you doing? Next time, knock. And he would say, I just want to know if you're home or not. He would come in and like knock something off of a dresser and then run out the door before I had a chance to really fully wake up and realize what happened.
He'd open the door and like knock something off the dresser in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Then he tells Anita, this is so awful. He tells Anita that because it's a 2-bedroom house. So Anita's got like her bathroom and then like the tenants share this other bathroom. And Daryl had a flashlight in the bathroom in case the lights went out. And Scott is telling Anita that it's actually a secret camera and that Daryl is filming Scott in the bathroom naked. Like that is a major allegation.
It's major. And so basically what's happening is that Daryl, the good roommate, is complaining to Anita a lot because Scott is like targeting Daryl.
Right.
She would never do anything and she'd be like, well, Scott's my friend and like it's between you guys, you figure it out.
Which is also like, it doesn't work like that.
No.
Like, you all live together. It's your house. Like,
but the bottom line is that Scott is manipulative and Anita was totally under his spell.
Right.
I don't know what he said to her before he moved in, but she's just like Scott could kind of do no wrong in her eyes.
And let me just say, like, anybody who's been in any kind of situation like this can tell you, you never, when you're in it, you never see how bad it is.
Well, Cindy, the daughter-in-law, says, look, Anita is smart and she's a tough lady and she's badass. The fact that she believed the stupid camera thing.
Right.
Really shows you how good Scott was at manipulating her.
Yes.
And it must have been going on for a long time because by the time we meet him,
but this all only happens in 3 weeks.
But I'm saying Scott and Anita knew each other before he moved in because he really, really like had her under his spell for sure.
It's true. And then
at one point, Scott was stealing things and blaming it on me. Scott took the shower head away and he convinced Anita that I had stolen the shower head. He was stealing the light bulbs out of the porch light. And then he started stealing the cleansing tablets out of the toilet in our bathroom.
And then Anita's confronting him and being like, why are you stealing my cleaning tablets?
And also, Cindy, the daughter-in-law, and Steve, her son, always hated Scott.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't know what Anita saw in him. It was just one of those things. It's so frustrating. And I'm like, ladies, I hear you. He was super pushy, super overbearing. Everything had to be his way.
Uh-huh.
So, like, everyone kind of, he just turned it on for Anita. But her own son, like, so Cindy says about Scott, he definitely did not want Daryl in that house.
Right.
So, when people like this, when they have, like, a project.
Yeah.
It becomes a nightmare for everyone. So now Scott's project is like, make Daryl evil and remove him from the house.
To the point where like, when Anita would confront him about things that Scott had blamed on Daryl, Anita's yelling at Daryl. Scott is standing behind Anita laughing at Daryl.
Yeah.
No, like acknowledging that he's fucking this up for him. Like, and I'm just like, Daryl, you gotta get out of there. Like, this is not a thing you need to get to the bottom of. It sucks that you've lived there for 2 years. Now you gotta move and whatever. You just gotta go. You're not gonna win. It's all going to go downhill. Just get out of there.
And so what happens is that Scott has now somehow recruited Anita.
Yeah.
So now it's not just like, Anita, remember when Daryl complained, Anita was like, that's just between the two of you.
Right.
So Scott has now made it that it's like Anita and Scott versus Daryl. So they're locking Daryl out of the house, like chaining up the doors.
Yeah.
Daryl called the cops 5 times in 2 weeks. And I'm like, this is also just so childish, Scott.
Right.
Like, it's so weird. Grow up and get a life and like go to work.
Right. And like Anita and Scott are then threatening to lie to the cops to like, they're going to tell the cops that Daryl is beating Anita.
Now, what Daryl does is he starts secretly filming all of this.
Yes.
All of these fights. Because the stuff that Scott is saying is ridiculous.
Right.
It makes no sense. So Scott is screaming about all the lawyers he knows.
Yeah.
He has a degree. You can look me up on the internet. Like, cool fucking story, bro. And but once he notices that Daryl is filming, like he catches Daryl secretly filming, everything changes.
Film me all like you filmed me naked in the bathroom.
What?
Yes, you did. I got the equipment.
And then he tries to convince Anita that I've got some sort of extensive criminal record that's visible on the internet. And that was all just right there in that little video. There's a lot in that video.
By the way, Anita, don't you know that Daryl has this extensive criminal record? It's so frustrating to listen to because it's all fake. And Anita's like, he does.
And the truth of the matter is, when I was saying, like, Daryl, you got to go, like, he probably can't go. You know what I mean?
He can't
like,
go.
If you're going to get, like, a first month's, last month's security for somewhere else, that's thousands of dollars.
And also, like, it's just not fair. It's like
right.
The principle of the thing.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong.
You know what? Once you live through that once, though, I don't know.
Like,
I just feel like my advice going forward will always be just go.
Just go.
Just, it's not, you know what I mean? Who cares who's right at the end of the day? Just get out of there.
Yeah.
Because all this guy wants to do is ruin his life. You know what I mean?
And that's it.
Yeah.
So it's March 7th, 2016. Daryl comes back from a weekend away with friends and he is—
Which made me so happy. I was like, girl, where'd you go?
I know.
I'm so glad you got away with the girls for the weekend.
And he's been, once again, locked out of the house.
I mean, who does that?
Now, here's where it gets even crazier.
Yeah.
Because Daryl calls the cops and he's like, yeah, hi, it's me again. They lock me out.
Right.
The cops go, you stay right where you are. We're coming to get you. And Daryl's like, get me? Weird. Okay, anyway, see you soon, fellas.
Right.
The cops get there and they arrest Daryl and throw him in the back of a cop car handcuffed.
My public defender was the first person to tell me what I was being charged with. They were all felonies, felony counts, senior abuse, damage of property, I believe. Scott and Anita said to the police that I had been acting crazy and had been threatening them and had chased them into a room, and supposedly I pushed Anita down on the lawn.
They arrest Daryl because Scott and Anita have accused him of senior abuse, damage of property.
They're all felonies, these charges.
Right. They're saying that he threw Anita down on the grass and was like beating her. I understand how naive this sounds, but how are they allowed to just arrest and hold him without any evidence?
They also refuse to tell him why when
right.
he's in the back of the car.
Right. Like, I don't understand. He doesn't ask for a lawyer, which is making me insane, but I don't understand how they can just say—
Well, he can't afford it.
But I guess so. But, like, yeah, I guess. I know this happens all the time, but, like, they just arrest him because that guy said that he did this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, again, just reminder, it's been 3 weeks since Scott moved in, so this got very bad— very fast.
And Scott came in with a plan. I had to rewind that. I was like, did you say 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
So he's done, and we left out the grossest shit that Scott did. Like, he came in with a plan to completely drive this guy from the house.
And not just that, drive Anita further into Scott's own arms,
yes.
so to speak, for
yes.
lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So these charges are all felonies, senior abuse, property damage, attacking Anita. He's been terrorizing them for all 3 weeks. Bail is set at $150,000. Daryl, of course, can't make this. He's facing 2.5 years in prison.
And he says, he's like, I didn't do any of this. I was being accused of a crime so bad that I'm being housed alongside the worst of the worst. Child molesters, murderers, rape. He's like in Gen Pop.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Know.
It's fucking terrifying.
And like, just because Scott said he did it, that is insane
or
to me.
Or I wonder what like proof he manipulated
yeah.
or I'm sure, you
I
know.
Mean, at that point, can he ask for a public defender?
I mean, yes. I mean, he should have someone at his
yeah.
disposal.
He's just rotting in prison. It's crazy.
So let's go back to January of 2012.
Yeah.
We meet Julie Russell. She lived with Scott in 2012.
Said, hi, my name is Scott. I'm currently studying for the New York, New Jersey bar exams, but I'm very friendly and act nothing like a lawyer. He was super charming, super funny. He had 2 small dogs as well. I trust a dog person over a non-dog person any day.
She lived in West New York, New Jersey, which is like right over the New York, New Jersey line.
It's a real place. It sounds like a typo, but it's real. West New York, New Jersey.
I lived in Jersey City, which is right next to West New York. And I used to be like, are we sure? What's going on here?
West New York, New Jersey. Not a typo. Real, real place.
I saw the look of like a homegrown New Yorker. You're like, oh, now I'm going to have to explain this to everybody.
West New York, New Jersey. You know who hates that? I think the people who live in West New York, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Who, if they meet someone, if they're in like Seattle and they're like, so New York? No. Wait, New Jersey? But you live in West New York, New Jersey.
I know. The dividing line, fam, is the Hudson River between New York and New Jersey. So why on the Jersey side is there a town called West New York?
I don't know. I don't know.
At one point, there was a plan to fill in the river and just extend Manhattan.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
It is insane.
Robert Moses wanted to do that.
Robert Moses fucking sucks.
I know.
He's a racist piece of shit.
Steve has a 900-page book on Robert Moses that he's working his way
through. Is it all about, like, he sucks just for all 900 pages?
I don't think there's anybody who's like, Robert Moses was amazing.
Like, look, Robert Moses screwed all of us.
Yeah, he wanted to demolish Soho. Thank God he didn't get to do that.
He was also, like, a racist and, like, didn't want black people living anywhere. Like, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah.
God, I hate Robert Moses so much. It's like a weird thing. You know who else hates Robert Moses? Jeff Goldblum. Weirdly.
Whoa, tell me more about Jeff Goldblum.
Because I know when he was doing a promo for Wicked, it like came up. It was on my TikTok where it was like, hey, Jeff Goldblum's like one of us. He's one of the good ones.
Because he hates Robert Moses.
He also hates Robert Moses and was like talking about the racism of Robert Moses.
You know,
Moses.
I will say the Jeff Goldblum revival of 2025 has been great.
Yeah. Did he leave? Like, who hasn't been watching Jurassic Park and loving him?
Me. I mean, not that I haven't loved him, but I mostly know him from like his stint on Will and Grace, and he was just like that weird, cute, tall guy.
Oh, who like had like the rivalry with Karen, but they really liked each other.
Yes. Yeah.
He's great. He's been great. A gem since the very beginning.
And I'm telling you, if him and Jonathan Bailey didn't make out a little bit, I'm going to be shocked. They were so in love with each other.
They probably did.
I'm sure.
But anyway. Not Robert Moses. We hate him.
No.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
So Julie's story is she puts an ad on Craigslist. Scott responded. He's like, hi, I'm Scott. I'm studying for the bar exam. I'm also gay.
Yeah.
I have animals. I have two small dogs.
Green flags as far as the eye can see.
And Julie's like, I trust a dog person over a non-dog person any day. To which I say, hi, Julie. So nice to meet you.
This is, by the way, 2 years before he moved in with Anita in California.
And he says, he's like, you know, I don't really do the hookup thing. I'm not bringing strangers in. Like, yeah. I'm neat. I've my two small dogs. Like, I'm kind of the best roommate ever, Jules. So, like, are you in? What's going on?
There is also a third roommate in this situation, too. So,
Olivia.
Like, right. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Did they give us their name?
Yeah.
I was like, did you just Google that?
No.
Olivia. Okay. But Julie is saying
Scott moved in and it was fun. You know, we laughed. We had a good time. Things seemed to be going really well. I did notice that his dogs were having a lot of accidents in the house, and I've had pets my entire life. I understand things happen, but it was excessive.
She says this was excessive. And now Olivia, the third roommate, doesn't have any pets.
I love that you know her name.
They said her name. And so Julie is like trying to be nice. And she's like, well, I don't want to upset the non-dog person. Like,
yeah.
But this is like, it's your fucking responsibility. You never trained your dogs.
No. And then it's also like suddenly, so they live on a ground floor apartment. And suddenly, like, we're being told that the other roommate, Olivia, apparently is her name, that Olivia is leaving that ground floor door unlocked, which obviously would be a major safety hazard. But I'm like, that was definitely him doing it, right?
Well, so Scott, what happens is that Scott is furious about this.
He's typing in all caps.
He would send these all caps emails to Julie as if Julie's like in charge of everything.
Yeah.
And the subject is all in caps. Just go with me. Olivia left the front door open last night. And then the subject of the email is, this put my life, my pets, and my property in danger. Therefore, you are hereby put on notice.
Here's my question. Like, if we didn't know that he was gay already, like, would this be the indicator?
No, he's just a dick.
Just like the all caps dramatic. You are hereby put on notice.
Like, for the reasons set forth in this email, you're hereby put on notice. Or else what, you fucking Herb? Right. Or else what?
He stops paying rent. You know what I mean?
Maybe I know there's something called the warrant of habitability, and I know that he's not the landlord. I knew this when I had
mice. Are you a housing lawyer?
No, but I called one once, and I had to speak to one. But you have to be, like, Julie's not the landlord, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, like, when I had mice, it was on the landlord to fix it because that's a health hazard, and it's, like, not okay. But, like, if he wants to talk this shit about the lease, about, like, oh, you know, you're, therefore, the terms of said lease, blah, 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 you also can't let your dogs go to the bathroom in the house either.
Exactly. Of course.
Idiot.
Of course.
So, like, he's just full of shit, and he's trying to do the lawyer thing. Keep an eye on that. It gets back to it. So he stops paying any rent. He stops paying the bills.
We had maybe only been living together for about a month at this point. He started eating our food, eating my roommate's birthday cake, threatening legal action against me for having three roommates in a two-bedroom apartment. I think that was probably one of the biggest shocks for me when I went to open my liquor cabinet. It was empty.
He's not just eating the food. She opened the liquor cabinet and everything was gone. And I just wrote gay.
And he's also like threatening legal action all the time. And I'm like, then fucking do it. Don't threaten it. Do it.
Yeah.
And so you know he has no power or no like ability to do anything because he's not actually doing anything.
Totally.
You can't just threaten people. And then he's texting her and body shaming her. And she's 22 years old.
I know.
He says you're only 22 and you're out of shape. And if you age like your mom, like you're going to be so ugly. Like all this horrifying
like,
shit.
What on earth?
She's 22 and more mature than all of us combined.
Not all gays, fam. Not
My
all gays.
God. But Julie.
As we started this one, I'm like, I hate that the bad guy's a gay guy in this
one.
It's giving us all a bad name.
Oh, God. So Julie's a wreck.
He emptied their liquor cabinet.
Which Julie needs because this guy's a piece of shit.
Totally.
So Julie's a wreck. Everything's so stressful. She's terrified that Scott is going to hurt her dog as a way to get and punish Julie.
And that, when it gets to that point, all I want everyone to do is abandon their apartments and just start over. I know that is unfucking realistic and completely unfair, but she's leaving work in the middle of the day because she's like, I think he's going to hurt my dog.
Right. So she doesn't feel safe in her own home, which is wildly unfair. Scott does not hurt her animals. I'm just going to say that now.
Yeah.
But Julie calls the landlord and she's like, I want a new lock on the door because I feel unsafe and everything is in writing. So here are all the text messages. Here's all the abuse. Here's the email.
Yeah.
It takes weeks to get the approval, but finally they get a new lock.
Because, and like, that's the problem. I keep saying, like, it's a good thing that it's hard to kick people out, but we should, when people are in danger in their own space, there needs to be a more expedient way of getting that, like, up the chain.
I know.
So they can change the goddamn locks.
I know. So, and Jill, remember, she's a 22-year-old woman. Like, she's young. She's just trying to, like, live her fucking life.
Yeah.
So this is when Julie gets access to Scott's bedroom, like, once the locks are changed. So she goes in, and it's just like a shithole.
I wasn't prepared for the mess that I saw when I got in there. His bedroom is just filthy, stuff everywhere. Dog food everywhere, used condoms. It was just disgusting.
Used condoms?
I knew you were going to say it.
Like nothing, it's just a mess. And so she figures out, oh my God, Scott was sneaking in and out of his bedroom window and coming and going without the women knowing and like bringing people into their home.
Oh my God.
Like,
can you imagine you meet some guy at the West New York gay bar and he's like, come back to my place. Oh, weird. We got to sneak in through the window.
Like I had a room when I was living in the Bronx. I had a roommate. I lived with five other girls for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
It was exactly what it sounds like. But one of them would like meet people and bring them into our apartment. And it sucked. And I remember being like, Cassie, you can't
Cassie.
Do that. Like, you can't just bring people. And she'd be like, what's your name again? And
oh,
it's like, you
no.
can't. We would just like hear a bunch of people that she'd met on the street, like at 2 a.m. And it's like, well, what do I do now? Now I live in this room forever. I'm not going to go out and confront these people that she'd be meeting like just randomly.
I mean, I had a similar situation in only the way that like it was me and this other gay guy. He lived in the bedroom down the hall. And when he was gone for like 2 weeks at one point, and I had to go into his room to get something. And when I tell you that I had to lean my body weight to open the door, and then like it was so great. It was worse. Like they show us pictures of Scott's room.
It's really
it was
bad.
Worse than that.
Ugh.
Who lives like that?
Like someone who's not like
well at all.
But this guy's also an asshole, so I don't want to like make it so that, some people, sometimes you're just a dick.
Right.
It has nothing to do with your mental health. You're just an asshole.
Yeah.
So back to April 2016, Daryl has been arrested, right? Now
yeah.
we're with Scott and Anita.
Right.
And now, like, Scott and Anita are having problems because Scott, like, can't just live in a world where everything's okay and just go to your job at Walgreens.
No.
Also, I thought you were a lawyer. Guess what? You're not.
Right. Remember how he stole the other roommate's liquor cabinet?
Scott was stealing her stuff. He would steal Anita's vanilla extract because it has some alcohol base to it. And he was drinking that.
He's stealing her vanilla extract and using it to get drunk, which is literally what two teenagers do in an episode of Mad Men because they're bored.
I mean, is there enough alcohol in vanilla extract to actually get drunk?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
either.
I mean,
even the girl who tells Pete Campbell about it, she's like, yeah, it made the afternoon go faster, but now I have a headache.
Right.
And he's like, that sounds like my job.
Oh.
But the whole thing
good
is
one,
like,
Pete.
There were two teenagers
right.
who were like looking to pass the time and they were drinking vanilla extract in like 1965.
Oh,
and this is what this guy's doing.
Just go
now.
To your parents' liquor cabinet. You know
like,
what I mean?
Oh my God.
The vanilla extract of it all?
So,
I'll take a vanilla extract on the rocks,
like,
thanks.
So, again, like, he's just letting his dogs go to the bathroom everywhere. He wasn't
yeah.
cleaning it. His garbage is piling up. Yogurt containers everywhere. Like, he's just doing the same shit.
And, like, Cindy and Steve are trying to get Anita to come live with them. They're trying to get Anita to abandon her house because she's not safe. And she's, like, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love, too, that as Anita is starting to realize that, like, Daryl wasn't the bad guy, we're just letting Daryl rot in jail.
Yeah, no one's apologizing to Daryl
no.
at all. The charges are still
yeah.
upheld. And Nita's saying, like, nope, I love that house. I worked really hard for it. I don't care what the issue is. I'm not leaving that house.
And that was Scott's plan the whole time. Like, get the house, you
get
know?
Get the house. But they're really scared for Anita's life.
Right.
And now we're going to rewind again, and we're going to October of 1990, and we meet Rob Salcedo.
Yeah, so Rob was Scott's partner for 12 years, and Rob says, like, he was really in love with him. Scott was loyal and protective. He, you know, Rob says he felt safe. One of the things they bonded over was that they both had really difficult childhoods. And according to Rob,
not too long after we met, Scott told me that his father had abused him. His mom was so abusive that she would get him pets and then she would take him to the pet shelter and have him euthanized and would tell him that she never wanted him. Things like that.
And then, like, the mom would say, we don't, like, they never wanted him.
Right. So because they both had traumatic childhoods and filled with abuse.
And, like, by the way, that's how these monsters get created. You do things like that and they turn out like this. It's like it's a one-to-one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So Scott went to law school, apparently, and Rob explains that by the time Scott got out of law school, he was a totally, completely different person.
Yeah.
He describes him as very, very ill. We don't really get that much into it. I think he's talking about substance abuse because he's saying
right.
he's, like, emaciated and, like, he just turned into this totally different, unrecognizable person.
And it seems like they weren't together when he was in law school because he says when he came back from law school.
Yeah, he sort of implies that they didn't see each other for 4 years, but
yeah.
I don't know. It is unclear.
Right.
But Rob says Rob was also, like, financing Scott's whole life.
Yeah.
So Rob paid for Scott to take the bar twice. And Rob's like, honestly, now that everything that I know about him, I don't think he ever took the bar exam. Like, there's no proof or evidence that he took it. I don't even know if he was in law school for those 4 years. Like,
yeah.
who is this person?
And Rob says that when Scott would drink, he would either pass out or get violent. He said at one point, Scott drank an entire bottle of tequila, got a kitchen knife, and chased him down the street.
It's like fucking Jason Voorhees.
Insane. And, like, and Rob is saying, literally, I'm throwing trash cans in his way to get, he's jumping them like hurdles.
Yeah. Now, this is in 1990. By 2002, Rob goes, yeah, I just didn't see a future. Yeah, no shit.
Right.
And they break up.
Yeah, but they stay friends. Like, they're friends.
But they're not just friends, because Rob said I'd always help him whenever I could.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, Rob, but Scott kept you around because you'd pay when he needed you to.
Right.
You know, he could, yeah. like, Scott, like, Rob was the friend where Scott could say, like, oh, I need rent, or I need $300, or I need whatever, and Rob would send it to him.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jump to May 2016. Like, remember, Rob and Scott met in 1990. Now we're in 2016, and Rob is saying he was on the phone with Scott when Scott was living at Anita's house.
He alleged that she had opened the back gate and let the dogs out, and he was on the phone with me, yelling down the street, like, you let the dogs out, I'll kill you.
Scott is on the phone with Rob, and Rob's like, I'm just hearing this like crazy fight that they're having, and Scott is threatening to kill Anita.
Right.
So Scott is drinking constantly. He's being very violent. He's trashing the house on a regular basis. And now Anita's like, oh shit, this guy's been manipulating me. And now she's scared for her life.
And she's locking herself in her bedroom. Like, we see pictures. She took everything she needed for the day into her room and was locking the door with a deadbolt so that like Scott couldn't get in and take her shit.
Or hurt her in any way.
Right.
So Anita finally realizes that Daryl didn't do any of the shit that Scott accused him of.
Yeah.
And he's in jail for no reason. And now Steve, Anita's son, goes, I'm going to tell you this right now. My mom was flat out wrong for what she did to Daryl.
Yes.
She fell for Scott's bullshit. He's a manipulator for sure. She was a victim of this. And she made a very bad decision about, like, wrongfully accusing Daryl.
And Cindy and Steve say to her, like, you need to go to the DA and tell him or her, like, what is going on here and get Daryl out, or you can't be in our lives anymore.
Or we will never speak to you again.
Yeah, but I was also like, Steve and Cindy, can't you make a call? Can't you just call the
DA? She's got to drop the charges. She's got to say he didn't actually hurt me. It's got to be her.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is sort of what you have to do to, like, wake someone up. And now Anita knows, obviously, she's barricading herself in her room because she's scared of Scott. But, like, Steve and Cindy are saying, like, this is the way forward. You got to undo what you did with Daryl, and maybe all of us together can, like, work through this Scott craziness.
And so Anita does. Like, she goes and tells the DA that she falsified a police report. Daryl is released. We never find out if anyone gets in trouble for that.
No, we don't.
You know?
We don't.
Like, she falsified a police report that got this guy put in prison for 100 days.
100 days.
And Daryl is saying, like, on June 11th, 2016, Daryl gets out, and he's like,
you take all kinds of freedom for granted, but when you do 100 days in jail, you really appreciate your freedoms. And being free, being out, was amazing. My first night out, I took a long, long walk. My feet hurt the next day. It was wonderful.
And so, and then I wrote, great, Daryl, who are we suing and when?
I know.
You know? But
I guess what happened is that Scott made it so that it's all Anita's name. It's all her charges. So he is not going to get any, he's not going to get penalized for anything. And so Daryl probably said, I'm just assuming here, but I'm playing Columbo for a minute and trying to put it all together. And he was probably like, don't worry about it, Anita. We're all victims of him.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Scott made it so that he wasn't on any paperwork and he wasn't making the complaint because it was all about Anita.
Right.
It's her house. It's her, you know.
And Daryl tells us, like, he goes to the house with a cop to get his stuff as soon as he's, like, out of prison. And he said, like, Anita and Scott were home when he went, which is, like, I guess Anita's got to be there because it's her place. But he says that, like, Anita came up to him when he was in the garage, like, packing his stuff and, like, stood shoulder to shoulder with him. And he's like, I guess I understood that that meant that she was sorry, though she never said it.
Now, this is when Daryl, sorry, everyone, animal lovers in the room.
Yeah.
This is when Daryl learns that his cats are dead. Now, Scott told him that Anita had them euthanized because she was mad at him or she knew Daryl was never coming back or whatever. Daryl, this is so sad. Daryl loved his cats.
Yeah.
And he explains,
My cats were my everything to me at that time in my life. I was going through a divorce. I didn't have any children with my ex-wife, but we had the cats, and they were like the only thing I had left.
It's so sad. And so Cindy's like, hold on a second. Anita loved animals. She had dogs. She had cats. There is no way that either it was her idea to get them euthanized or she did it on her own. And Cindy says, in no uncertain terms, it was Scott.
100%.
Who did this, who brought them to the vet or whatever he did.
Yeah. There's, I mean, no question that it was definitely Scott. So, you know, as they're leaving, the policeman who's, like, been with them at the house congratulates Daryl on keeping cool. And he's like, never, ever come back here for any reason without a police escort.
Now, okay, Daryl's like, no problem.
Yeah.
So Anita, at the same time, Anita files a restraining order against Scott, as well as a kickout order.
I love knowing that that exists.
Now, it's very good to know.
Yeah.
Now, but this is where it all turns to shit, because a judge says, well, because remember, Scott, like, eventually, after a certain amount of time, Scott always just lets his dogs go to the bathroom all over any house he's in.
Yes.
That's like a weird weaponized thing that he does.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons Anita wants him out of the house is because he's making the house a mess. He's leaving his condoms everywhere, his food everywhere.
Oh, God.
Dogs are going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So the judge hears one thing, blames the dogs, and says, oh, well, the dogs have to leave. Scott can stay.
Right.
But he has to stay 5 yards away from Anita, which is like 15 feet, which is not far at all.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but like, I'm not meaning this as a joke. The dogs are victims here too.
Of course.
They're not being taken care of.
No.
They're not being trained. So they have to leave and go into a shelter. And Scott gets to stay and stay 15 feet away from this woman he's abusing.
Which is never going to, it's not enforceable. And this is why there needs to be so much nuance in this. Like, it should be hard to get people out. Because you can't keep the abuser in the house unless you have a round-the-clock cop at the kitchen table enforcing that he's got to stay 15 feet away from his victim.
Well,
this is crazy.
It's crazy. And Sergeant Heather, who started telling us this whole story at the top,
yeah.
She says now, she goes, I've never heard of something so ridiculous in all of my career.
I mean, it's absolutely insane.
So Steve, the son, is like, fuck all of this. He's trying to help his mother get Scott evicted.
But he also says, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll pay him off. Like, these people who have, like they're doing the right thing. They just want to protect their mom because it does get to a point where it's like, Anita, you're just unsafe. Like, you're
yes.
like you're in a very unsafe. We got to get you out of there, and we will then worry about getting him out of there. But like, what do you do?
And this is where it's like the fun part for Scott.
Right.
He doesn't want money.
Right, right, right. Of course, he wants to terrorize this lady. Right.
So Steve is like, all right, mom, start recording things. Document the state of the house any way
yeah.
you can. Document how scared you are. Like, make notes. Like, have a journal. Show the courts that he's a bad guy and you're scared. If for
right.
some reason they can't just do a walkthrough of the house and see the hell that he's created,
right.
that if you need to document it, like, that's what you have to do.
And so it's June 14th, 2016.
Anita knew that Scott was going to be served with the order that day. So she was working, and she planned to stay away from the home and not return for as long as she possibly could, because she knew once she returned home, he was going to be extremely upset with her. And she was afraid to come home.
And she knows how upset he's going to be, so she's trying to stay away from her own house as long as she can. So 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Scott is served. Anita gets home from work that night. Scott has locked her out. And so he's put a lock on the garage doors, and he's padlocked the side doors. So Anita does what she knows to do, and she calls the cops. This is the day of the murder.
Yeah, because she calls Cindy, her daughter-in-law, and Cindy's like, you have to call the police.
Yeah.
And she does.
So 6:09, the cops are called. They come, they go into the garage, and they see that Scott's just unplugged the motor to the garage door, and like she's trying to get the cop to go in and like yell at Scott, and the cop is saying to her, like, once again, this is just a civil complaint, like, no crime has happened here. And the cop leaves.
But even if that's true, can the cop mediate for 2 fucking seconds?
I know.
It's like, whenever there's a loophole, everyone's happy to go home and leave these people in unsafe situations.
Right, because we know it's going to happen in 5 hours.
Like, I know it's technically, maybe, perhaps not his job in that moment, but could he try to defuse
right.
the situation?
Or just go in and be like, why are you being so awful to this old lady?
Like,
what
is
you
the
doing?
Point of your
right.
job, guy, if
right.
you're going to be like, oh, sorry, like, she's like, wait, I served him this thing and now I feel unsafe. Like,
yeah.
Protect
yeah.
and serve, no?
I couldn't agree more.
So Anita is now alone with Scott, who is going crazy.
Yeah.
He is violent. He is screaming. He's super glued her own door to her bedroom shut, so now she can't hide in her bedroom.
This is a level of unhingery that is just like, look, you just gotta, if you are ever in this situation, just leave. Just, you gotta walk out the door that day.
And so Steven and Cindy have had it.
Yeah.
Because they decide to drive the 3 hours, get Anita, put her in a hotel room.
Yeah.
And now they're on the phone with Anita, telling
in the car.
Her, and Scott overhears this.
And then all of a sudden, the phone goes dead.
We called the police several times to do a kind of welfare check on her because she never answered the phone again.
It's a 3-hour drive. They can't get in touch with Anita the entire way there. It's the longest drive of their life. They're furious. They're scared.
Right. And this is where we're back to the beginning. Because they can't get in touch with Anita, Cindy calls the local cops to go do a welfare check.
And Steve says, we called the police several times to do a welfare check. How many times exactly?
Right.
How many times did a cop just throw their hands up and say, I don't feel like it today?
I mean,
because it's so, like, if you think of all the times, like, excessive force has been used to cause harm and death.
Yeah.
And it seems like all the rules and technicalities go out the window.
Right.
When it's, like, Sonia Massey or
yeah,
someone
yeah.
or countless other people of color. But, like, this worst series, like, we've been doing this a lot. The worst roommate ever, worst ex ever.
Yeah.
Like, they're really highlighting. It's really, like, really standing out to me how many times people, women especially, are left to deal with violent men totally by themselves.
Oh, totally.
I feel like every episode of these worst series,
yeah.
worst ex ever, like, more, I know it happens all the time, but specifically, it feels like every episode of a worst whatever we've covered.
Yeah.
There is some woman saying, can you help me, please?
I know.
And some police officer saying, no.
I know. And especially, I mean, in my brain, I'm imagining that the cops are frustrated with her because she calls all the time, even though she knows that they can't help. Like, so in my brain, that's the only plausible answer as to why the cop didn't go into the house to, like, see what was, to at least make his coply presence known.
It's really disturbing, you know? Especially, like, maybe I'd be able to hear that argument 6 months ago when it's like, ma'am, I know we can't really, that's a civil issue. Maybe. I'm not even saying yes to that, but maybe. But now if she's saying, he just got served papers.
And he's locked me out of my own house. And then the cop would go inside and see the state of the house and understand that there's something really wrong here.
Right. It's like, it's disturbing how often these police officers are just like, oh no, you have to do this by yourself. Like that woman in Vegas who was just like, hi, can you at least be there when I serve him these papers?
Or can you?
And they said no.
Yeah.
They just let her walk into that house by herself.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And hopefully that's what this series is, one of the things we're trying to highlight.
Should hope so.
Right.
Like, but what do we do about it? Just sit here and scream? Great.
Right.
My throat already hurts today.
I know.
So the chaos of this, of his like violent outburst starts at 6:09 p.m. By 12:07 a.m., Sergeant Heather gets the call that Anita was found dead.
Right.
And so, now we're at the beginning.
Right. And so like now the cops go into the house. This is insane. Anita is dead in the pool.
They quickly do their safety sweep throughout the home. They end up right at Scott's door, which is closed. They call out to Scott, open his door, and they see him laying naked on his bed.
They find him naked on the bed.
He's just lying there.
Naked? Like, what happened?
He probably took his clothes off and tried to wash them and tried to, probably in some state.
And so, like, it seems like he doesn't even know what is going on. They bring him into, and we're hearing all of this from the body cam.
Yeah.
They bring him out into the hallway. They handcuff him.
He's, like, totally quiet.
Yes.
And they
Covered in scratches.
Covered in scratches. And they ask him his name, and he's, like, quietly.
Yeah.
He just goes, Scott. Like, he's completely, like, catatonic almost.
Well, then he says, like, as soon as they see the scratches on him, he starts telling the officer about the other roommate, Daryl. They're like, well, our other roommate, Daryl, said he was going to kill us, and I feel like he must have done something to Anita.
And I'm so scared of him, by the way.
Right.
So Scott is scared of Daryl, and now the cops have to talk to Daryl and waste their time.
Yeah.
Because Daryl didn't do this.
No. And it cuts to Daryl, who gives us his perspective, and he's like, because the cops are now looking for Daryl. Daryl now sees on the news that Anita's been murdered. He's shocked, but he goes, it just clicked in me that I must be a suspect. He goes to the police station to willingly turn himself in for questioning because he knows they're going to be looking for him.
Because Daryl, the non-killer, was released on Saturday.
Yes.
On the early morning hours at 12:07 a.m. on Tuesday, Anita was murdered.
Right.
So Daryl hears about this and is like, okay, like Anita did put me in jail for something I didn't do.
Right.
Could other people see that as a motive? Sure.
Yeah.
Like, I know this guy Scott's really manipulative. I don't know what he's done or what he said, but like he just got out 36 hours ago, and then has to go back into the police station and be like, okay, here's what happened.
And, like, this gets cleared up pretty fast. Luckily, Daryl wasn't feeling well on the night of the murder and went to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so he, like, has a receipt for his time at the hospital. Like, they're able to, like, clear him instantly.
Right.
Right.
So the cops are now fully focused on the Scott guy. And they say, like, the crime scene is odd.
It's bizarre.
Because Anita was found in the pool, and like Cindy and Steve come, and it's just their worst nightmare. It's what they were trying to not think about the whole 3-hour drive there.
Yeah. Like in the pool, they find packages of chicken wings. There's like a full uncooked chicken at the bottom of the
pool. Like a roasted chicken.
Right.
Like, and Anita is also in the pool as well. So was he like throwing these things at her?
I mean, he seems like whatever he was on, he was just went crazy.
Crazy. But they also, this is so fucking tragic.
Yeah.
There was a breakfast nook and a kitchen table on the other side of the kitchen. So I had pulled back the open French door. And as I looked behind the French door, I saw a digital recorder. And I actually picked up the recorder and saw the digital file was recorded on the night of the murder because it was date and time stamped.
Heather tells us Anita recorded her own murder.
Right. And we hear some of it, and it is horrible.
And I have in my notes, please don't play it. Please don't play it.
Yeah.
Please don't play it. And they played it.
Of course.
And you hear them fighting, and he's screaming at her, and she's screaming back.
Right.
Like, she's really fighting back, and you hear her say, like, get off me, get out of here.
Yeah.
It's just, it's chilling.
It's horrible. They bring Scott in to question him. And as soon as he, you know, like they're talking to him and he's talking kind of. But then as soon as they get anywhere near the events of the murder, he asks for an attorney. And I'm like, why is he got to be the one to know?
So they bring the killer in. This is great, though. And he asks for a lawyer. So the conversation's over. And that's when Sergeant Heather goes, oh, no, it's cool. She recorded the entire thing. So we're good either way. Like, I don't have to talk to you anymore. And the killer goes, wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, it's on the recorder. And Heather goes, sorry, girl, you asked for a lawyer. Like, I can't talk to you anymore. Sorry. And the killer.
They must love that. Because for all the times somebody asks for a lawyer and they don't have anything to throw in their face, like, this is the one time.
And so the killer's like, no, I take it back. And Sergeant Heather says, that's when I re-Mirandized him and we started over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that lasts for 5 minutes before he's like, shit, I definitely do want that lawyer.
Yeah.
And Sergeant Heather goes, fine, but we're officially done. I'm not questioning you anymore.
Right.
So don't ask me to, like, start over. This is the second time you've asked for a lawyer. Now, girl, we're over.
We're done.
I cannot speak to you anymore.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that he ask for the death penalty. Innocent people don't ask for the death penalty.
Innocent people don't ask for the death penalty.
No.
Yeah. And in this case, I'm more than happy to oblige.
Like,
bye.
We don't need you on this fucking earth.
Yeah.
And so we get the on-screen text that on August 29th, 2019, which is years later, by the way.
Yeah.
The killer was convicted of first-degree murder, elder abuse, and violating a protective order. And
right.
he was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison. Because remember, he just got served that piece of paper that said he had to stay 15 feet away from her.
Right.
So that's
the
other charge on top of that, too.
Yeah. And it ends by everybody imploring the watching audience at home to do background checks. And I'm like, right. But like, I don't think there was anything that would have come up on his background check. Like, I don't, and we don't know other things. Like, I would assume that Netflix did a background check to see if there were things that could have been there.
I guess.
But like, the roommate in New York didn't file any charges. The boyfriend didn't file any charges. Like, there wasn't anything that would have popped up to like make him look like a bad roommate.
Yeah. But it's giving like, what was she wearing?
Uh-huh.
It's giving like,
right.
Look, I like my short skirts,
yeah.
girl. You can't take them away from me, Sergeant Heather. And I liked you sitting here, but it's very like,
well,
wait a second.
The only reason, it's what I was saying before, is that you just have to understand, if you let people move into your house, it's going to be really hard to get them out. 99% of the time, it's not going to turn out this bad, but it could be awful. Like, I've known cases of like people getting stuck with people who refuse to pay the rent. It takes 6 months to get them out. And chances are, this isn't the first time they've done it. There probably is some record of that somewhere. So, like, definitely live your life, and we are not blaming the victim. But just as, like, a word to the wise, it is very, 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 very hard to get people out of your space once they're there.
It's very difficult. And everything just keeps getting more and more expensive. So people are, like, backed into a corner, and they think, like, maybe I'll just be here for a little. Maybe I just need this roommate for 6 months. Like, no one is ever thinking about this.
Yeah.
And things change really fast.
Yeah. Tell them about the website you know about.
There's a website. I was telling Patrick this.
Because I was like, what do you do? And you're like, I have the answer.
Yeah, it's weird. So I can't remember what the documentary is, but we covered something and it led me down this internet rabbit hole. It's a Facebook group called Investigation Connection.
Uh-huh.
It's super, super, there's a lot of rules to it, but now Facebook lets you post anonymously, which I think is interesting
for
this.
Yeah.
But you can go in that group and say, you know, my best friend is dating some creep and I know he's a creep, but she won't believe me. Can someone do a background check on this person? Or I want the criminal record for someone. Or if something as innocent as, I had a best friend in third grade,
uh-huh.
and this is the last place I knew where she was, or someone who might be struggling with substance use disorder, and the last time I saw them, they were living on the street in this place. Like, just looking for people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people in that group, I don't know how many, like thousands of them, a lot of them just pay or have access or just want to be helpful and have the sites that, like, you don't have to pay for the background check. Like, they'll do it.
I was saying to you, I'm like, you know, it's body moving. Don't F with cats. It's just sitting in there waiting for an assignment.
Yeah. So sometimes it's really innocent and sweet.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I found my best camp friend. And here we are. But sometimes it's other people looking out for others that just want proof to be like, my mom's new boyfriend sucks. And this is the situation or whatever.
So there are ways you can do it if you want to.
If you wanted to, you know, but it's like, again, it's not my job.
No, just be nice to each other.
Just be nice.
I know.
That's everyone's job.
That's it.
That's our homework for the evening.
Totally. Just be nice. Oh my God, girl, we did Worst Roommate Ever, Season 2, Episode 2.
Housemate from Hell.
And was he ever? And like, not all gays, I promise.
There are more episodes of the show.
Yeah. The gays are much more likely to steal your liquor cabinet full of booze than they are to like do anything really nefarious. So
except this guy.
Keep it locked up. If you get a gay roommate, keep your liquor cabinet locked up is all I'll say.
Right.
Fam. Sam, don't forget, we launched a Discord. So just go to the show notes and you can click on the link there.
Yeah, it'll take you right there.
Yeah, and we also have the Facebook group. That's not going anywhere. So you can join the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group on the Facebook.
Yeah, we just added Discord. It's not we like in replace of anything.
Nope.
It's just an addition.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you.
Be nice to each other. She said
Please
it. It's your homework.
Nice. Please.
All right.
You should be like, oh, that's easy.
Yeah, that's easy. Like I'm already doing that. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.